podcast time, jump aboard. This podcast won a award from a site called The Poke. I don't know what that is. Breakfast XFM, it's Danny with Specs on XFM.
It's Danny.
It's Breakfast XFM.
It's Danny.
Yes, we are XFM.
Danny Wallace.
Let's do a word each. Hello.
There.
And
welcome
to
the
podcast
for
you,
the
listener
of
it.
Hi there.
On today's important podcast, Sam
Rockwell.
Plus, I have an on-air meltdown. We ask you what you'd do if your best friend was a yogurt. I rebuff a listener. We hand full editorial control to a listener. And we celebrate Stockwell in...
What was it called again?
No, was I was kind of going in so that you...
Oh, sorry, I thought you meant in rock.
No, in!
This...
Oh, just say... In!
You, something.
In what? What
say
what
something like you.
In you. Okay, go on.
In!
What? You.
Get!
Oh, I see.
In you get. Oh, yeah, obviously. That was...
Fade him down.
Obviously,
fade
you're saying in you get. Oh, yeah, why did I not know that?
Yes, we are XFM.
Danny Wallace.
So Matt's here, everybody. Matt's back. Matt's back with the XFM Breakfast Show. You're away yesterday.
Yes.
Where were you yesterday?
I was at a conference called News Extra.
Extra. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, it was a news conference.
Mm.
A coming together of all the people from around the country who work for this company.
Is that right? All the new the news team.
Yeah.
So hundreds and hundreds of kind of flat-footed news hounds like yourself.
Mm.
Feet flat from pounding the streets looking
for
stories.
Yeah.
Coming together, a great meeting of minds.
Yeah.
To share information.
Share ideas.
Tips, contacts.
Ideas, tips, yeah.
All that kind of stuff. And this, am I right in thinking this was some form of disciplinary?
No, it was an informal sort of meeting.
Sounds like a disciplinary. Sounds like you were sent on a disciplinary, like a day away, an away day, to relearn your skills. That's what it sounds like. That's what everyone's thinking right
really
now.
Really quite just the informal.
Everyone's thinking.
Catch up over the day, really.
Disciplinary.
No official warning.
How did you feel when you... Because of, what did you do wrong to get sent on this?
Nothing. No, it's all...
Because Johan Hari, that journalist, he was sent to New York, wasn't he, to relearn how to be a journalist at one point because of the mistakes that he'd made, that he admitted to.
Well, that's...
Was it
that's
a similar kind
happened.
Of...
No, just all coming together.
And what was it like, was there a punishment?
Certainly no punishment, certainly not for me.
Well, it's a forward-thinking company, they probably wouldn't punish you, they just want to re-educate
you. Like I said, there was no
for
reason
whatever you did
for
wrong
to punish me.
And so. Had everyone done something wrong?
No, not at all. It was just a meeting, you know.
Because it would have been, because either I imagine it was like loads of naughty kids, you know, like the bad kids of global radio who've been sent on this.
There was no disciplinary elements.
Or you'd have all been quite cowed by it and quite kind of respectful because you don't want to get in trouble again.
No. It was just like, you know, sharing ideas.
The important thing is, have you learnt your lesson?
Yes.
And going forward, will you bring?
I won't be doing it again.
We are.
XFM. This is a risk. This is a risk. But as I resigned myself to it moments ago, I just said, well, let's just see what happens.
Mm.
I mean, there's lots to talk about in the papers today. Lots. I mean, there's pictures of the Queen checking out a camper van. And it's very unusual, though, photographs of her. She's just in this caravan. It's just the Queen and Prince Philip in a little motorhome. Could have talked about that for ages. No. Ideal girls don't exist, apparently. I've met my 67% perfect woman. That's what we look for in the opposite sex as men. The whole thing here about how women aren't happy with men either. Could have talked about that for ages. And then I saw this. And it says, Vision of the Future. And it's all about... high-tech gadgets we may have in 20 years or so. Again, may have. Tomorrow's World never quite got it right, did it?
No.
But maybe Alan Palmer of The Mirror. Maybe he's different.
Well, yeah.
So exoskeletons, of course. You know, we'll all be wearing these very strong polymers. We'll be able to lift cars and so on. We'll be able to link dreams.
Ooh.
You know, so you go to sleep at night. Still hang out with your partner. But in dreams, and you can kind of guide each other's dreams, almost like a video game somehow.
Yeah, like Xbox Live, but in the dream world.
Yes.
Wow.
Androids, that's a given. Active contact lenses that you pop in and it makes the resolution of what you're seeing incredibly sharp. You can get text messages while you sleep. Read them when you wake up, don't even have to open your eyes. All these things, video tattoos, little tattoos you can just change and you can have whatever you want. And then I saw this, and again, blame Alan Palmer for this. So, in the future, computers will be obviously very, very, very intelligent. Millions of processors. They'll be suspended in gel to keep them cool, yeah? Connect to each other via light beams, says Alan Palmer. And bacteria are being modified to use in electrical components, right? With potentially vast intelligence. And this is the line. This is the line I'm basing everything on. This is Alan Palmer's line from the Mirror this morning. With potentially vast intelligence, one day, your best friend could be a yogurt. Your best friend could be a yogurt one day. That's the vision of the future that we're looking at. Wow. Forget the exoskeletons, forget the androids, forget Lincoln Dreams. Your best friend could one day be a yogurt. So bacteria are going to be so bright, so intelligent. We'll be wandering around with little pots of yogurt, according to the dream world of Alan Palmer here. Wow. So my question to you, and again, go with this, because I've got a feeling I'm going to be relying quite heavily on you this morning, is what would you get up to if your best friend was a yogurt? Yeah, so what little adventures would you have? Just you and a yogurt. Just imagine it straight away. What pops into your head? You and a yogurt just hanging out. You just walking down the street with a yogurt. The yogurt bouncing along, maybe like in that Blur Coffee and TV video, you know?
Yeah.
So this little yogurt is alive. It's got little yogurty eyes and yogurty arms and yogurty legs. And you just go for a little, I don't know, you could go jogging, something like that, can you?
Jogging,
So if your best friend was, and again, I've never said this before, and never really until this morning saw a situation in which I would be asking people this. But Matt, if your best friend was a yogurt, what would you guys get up to?
Well, I would take a cheeky little pot of apricot petit filou to
apricot,
France, perhaps.
Okay. Yeah.
Hang around tourist hotspots.
Yeah.
Using my BFF in distraction pickpocket-based activities.
Oh, yeah.
A little fromage fray would, like, pretend to be a bird's business on an unsuspecting tourist's shoulder. I would alert them to this while pilfering their pocket watch.
You've got a little bit of... That's a scam again,
yes,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Watch out for that.
When good bacteria goes bad.
Oh, very nice. Dave, if your best friend was a yogurt, what would you get up to? And there was a marvellous moment earlier when I was sort of pitching this, and you were just pacing around the studio, and over again, you were saying to yourself, with pain in your eyes, rubbing the bridge of your nose, I don't know what I'd do if my best friend was a yogurt. So what would you do? What have you decided?
I've got it.
Yeah?
I think my BFF would be possibly a yop.
A bit
more liquid based,
yes,
still
yeah,
very
lovely.
Much in the yogurt family. Possibly strawberry flavor.
Lovely.
Because when I go to the local skate park, sometimes my rollerblade wheels become a bit squeaky and stiff.
Squeaky,
so I could pour a bit of my best friend yop onto the wheels to prolong my day out at the skate park.
That's lovely. What does yop get out of this?
Huh?
What does yop get out of this?
Well, the satisfaction of knowing he's helping out his best mate.
I suppose I've kind of based mine on that sort of that one sided relationship as well. My yogurt bestie would be a strawberry ski. You know, big in the 80s, right? So we'd share many of the same references. And he's down to earth, he's a little bit tasty, you know. He's probably got a kid too, and I was thinking a little petit filou for that. He used to go out with a supermodel, very tall, a froob. And anyway, me and Skiface, we'd form a wonderful team. On holiday, for example, he'd be like, oh, you're a little bit sunburned. You know, he'd say, let me rest myself on your forehead and cool you.
Whoa,
you know, like best friends do. Oh, my tea is a bit bitter, I'd say. Well, let me rest myself in it, he'd reply. Sweeten it up for you, you know, like best friends do. And I guess I'd walk around going, I don't know why I never had a yogurt for a best friend before, before realizing how alone I am and crying into my legs. So in the future, yogurts will be our best friends. The words of Alan Palmer from The Mirror.
We are XFM.
I've just seen a text that's really made me laugh. Can you see that? It's great. It's just it's from confirmed listener Travis. Can you see that?
Yeah.
Just making me laugh. It just says, this is my new number.
Thank you.
I don't know why that's so funny. Thanks, Matt. Can you do it?
Thanks, Travis.
What? Oh,
thanks for keeping us in the loop.
Yeah. We are XFM.
We are proud to welcome this man.
An eye for an eye leaves the whole world blind. I believe that wholeheartedly.
No, it doesn't. There'll be one guy left with one eye.
How's the last blind guy going to take out the eye of the last guy left who's still got one eye? All that guy has to do is run away and hide behind a bush. Gandhi was wrong.
Sam Rockwell, everybody!
Hello, Sam.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Good.
Welcome to London.
Thank you.
Thanks. Do apologize about the weather.
Oh, thank you. It's I'm used to it. I'm from San Francisco, so.
Oh, I saw, yeah, the Bay Area. I suppose you get a bit of rain there.
Yeah, it's foggy and moist.
Yes, absolutely. What a beautiful town San Francisco is.
Yeah, it is a great town. No, it is. But a lot of peat coats and, you know, cold weather.
Yeah, that's nice. That's more stylish, I think, than just shorts.
That's right.
You're wearing glasses. That's a good sign. Because work experience Steve brought you in, and just before he brought you in, he lent to me sort of slightly conspiratorially and said, he's wearing glasses, so you should get on. Welcome to the Brotherhood.
Exactly. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
No. So listen, Seven Psychopaths is what we're going to talk about. It's a fantastic film. I went to see it yesterday. Right. You're in it. You play Billy Bickle, don't you?
Yes.
The best friend of a screenwriter. Struggling screenwriter.
Yes, played by Colin Farrell.
Yeah. And he's having trouble writing his scripts. You want to help him write his scripts.
That's right. I'm sort of his muse. I'm kind of his kooky muse. And my other good friend that's played Chris Walken. And I steal dogs. And we accidentally steal a gangster's dog played by Woody Harrelson.
Yes. Billy, what else? He's an actor, isn't he?
Yeah.
And he's a struggling actor. So it's, I guess in LA, a lot of people are struggling.
Yes, that's true. There are a lot of actors, and they are struggling, and they're trying to make something happen.
You've never been struggling, I imagine.
Oh, I did have my lean years.
Did you?
Yeah.
What did you do in your lean years?
I delivered burritos on a bicycle. I was a busboy. I was a barback. I worked for
a private investigator.
Barback is the assistant to the bartender.
Oh,
he carries the kegs on his back and he delivers glasses.
You're a mule, a beer mule.
I was a beer mule.
Man,
is that what they call it here? Beer mule?
No, I just made that up, but
yeah,
I quite like it.
I like it.
Please have it.
Yeah. And the bicycle, I used to deliver burritos on a bicycle, and I'd get, the cab doors would open, and I'd get nailed in the rain.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was fun.
Those are the lean years. And like you, I mean, Billy is, he's having his lean years. He's like you said, nicking dogs, stealing dogs with Christopher Walken.
That's right.
Turning up at people's houses and claiming the rewards.
Yeah, that's right.
It does go wrong. Woody Harrelson gets involved. And that's really where the film takes a little bit of a sinister twist.
Yeah, that's right. It gets a little hairy, and hijinks ensue.
Hijinks ensue in
the desert.
Yeah, exactly. What drew you to this project? It's a great script, great dialogue.
It was a great script, and it was what I call no brainer. You know, because you got Martin McDonagh and all these great actors, and it was he's got a pretty great track record. Martin, Chris Walken and I did one of his plays on Broadway in New York. So we got to know each other there.
So you were already old pals.
Yeah. So we knew Martin and Chris and I had worked together. And so it was...
There's a great chemistry there between you and Christopher, obviously. And I hadn't realized that you'd worked together before.
Yeah.
How easy is it to kind of create chemistry with someone that you haven't worked with before?
You know, it either happens or it doesn't. I've been lucky. You know, Colin and I had great chemistry. I've been very, very fortunate. You know, I've worked with a lot of amazing people. Gene Hackman, Drew Barrymore, and, you know, a lot of great people.
And you mentioned the word kooky before. You said that Billy Bickle is kind of his kooky muse. You're drawn to those sort of roles, aren't you? Kind of character roles.
Yeah, I like kooky, dark stuff, I suppose. Yeah, it finds me, and I find it.
Do you seek it out?
I seek it out. It seeks me out. It finds me. Even if I try to hide, it finds me.
Is that do most of the offers that come in have a sort of a kooky element to them?
I mean,
do you never want to do like a straight leading man style?
Yeah, I've done some, but then nobody's seen those movies. But
right, but even one like, you know, a brilliant film like Moon.
Has its
very odd elements.
Yes. I got a chance to kind of be a little straighter in that, and then there was a kookier. There were two versions of me, so there was a kookier version and a more straight kind of military version. But yeah, you know, they're the most interesting scripts, the ones that have some oddballs.
And Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, of course, as well.
Yes, the King Eyeball, Zaphod Beelbarax. Yeah. Yeah.
There must have been pressure on you doing a film like that as well.
Yeah.
I suppose something like Seven Psychopaths, you can come at from a completely new direction because you're defining that role. And
sure.
Something like Hitchhiker's Guide, which is so beloved over here.
Yes.
There must have been that British pressure.
Yeah, absolutely. Although it was, I think it was written, the character was written American. Maybe in the book, or at least he was played American in the TV series.
Mm.
By
an American gentleman.
Yes, no, he was a British gentleman playing an American gentleman.
I can't remember who played him.
Yeah, no, I worked with him. Anyway, he's wonderful, and he's a director now.
Oh, okay.
And so anyway, he did,
that guy.
That guy. He did
that
very
guy.
Well.
He was marvelous.
We are XFM.
My weekend was good. It was weird as well. Very odd.
Why?
Well, I'll tell you. I wasn't going to leave it at that. That'd have been a wonderful cliffhanger.
Let's move on.
Just leave it at that and then... It was weird because I went to a place and suddenly I was in a room. And sometimes doing jobs like this, you end up in rooms with people you don't expect to be with. And I was in a room with the legendary Bobby Womack and Sir David Frost. And there was only like maybe 8 or 9 of us sitting around, and David Frost was telling me that he felt that in Frost versus Nixon, were great film, Frost Nixon, they'd made him out to seem a bit of a nit at the start, and then he said, "Do you know how to turn this off?" And he gave me his phone, and I had to turn his phone off, and then minutes later he went, "Can you turn this back on again?" And so I had to turn his phone back on again, and then he told me, "I know how to put it on silent." And I was thinking, I bet you don't. Like, you don't know how to turn it on and off. I think sometimes the battery just goes on David Frost's phone and he just goes, well, it's on silent. But it was amazing. I'd essentially turned into David Frost's butler.
What? Okay.
And then Bobby Womack got his guitar out. This sounds like a dream, isn't it? Then Bobby Womack got his...
party.
But Bobby Womack got his guitar out and played a song that he said he'd never played live before, which is one of his most famous songs, Across 110th Street.
Across it's on the Jackie Brown soundtrack.
Yeah.
That's great.
And he played that and there were people weeping. And David Frost just still fiddling with his phone.
We are...
But some of you are trying to work out how this is going to go. I asked you this morning, what would you do if your best friend is a yogurt? Here are the answers. Just tuned in. That might sound a bit weird, but it's all right, right? Because in the mirror this morning, it's the 10 high-tech gadgets of 2030. And you've got exoskeletons, you've got people linking dreams, you've got active skin, augmented reality, video tattoos, and you've got smart yogurt. And Alan Palmer, the futurist, I suppose, futurologist they've employed, just says, with potentially vast intelligence, one day your best friend could be a yogurt. So we're taking it very seriously, and we're saying, well, what does this mean? What ramifications will this have for the human race?
Yeah.
And what will you do if your best friend is a yogurt? Matt, what would some of the listeners do if their best friend was a yogurt?
Confirm this, then Rachel says, at work I already have something called yogurt time. It's a time when I cease working so that I can eat yogurt,
that's
usually
nice.
Lemon curd flavour from a well-known supermarket chain.
Okay.
If yogurt were my friend, I would, of course, cease to eat him during yogurt time and would instead dance around to hammer time, replacing the word hammer with the word yogurt.
That's lovely. Alan the cabbie says, I'd go skiing. Very nice. Someone else just says we would spoon in bed. Isn't that nice? Brad, slightly sinister, just says straight away we'd go swimming just to see what happens. I feel sorry for his best mate. What else?
A few other quick fire gags.
Yeah.
Paul says take the yogurt racing. It would be pasteurise before you know it. My best friend was some milk, but then he turned sour.
Oh, that's a sad
another
story.
One from Bruce.
That's nice. Teacher Alan Enfield said if my best friend was a yogurt, I'd share wonderful moments of black magic, Ouija boards, and witchcraft. Because everyone knows that yogurts are very in to the yakult. Oh, that's nice. Another sad story, though, from Steve. He says, I used to have a Greek yogurt as a friend, but I got sick to death of him never having any money and smashing all the plates. Fair enough. A little joke about the economy there. Off you go, Matt. What else?
I would let my yogurt best friend develop a few days' mould, and then we would go together to the barber's down the road for a traditional wet shave.
That's
and
nice.
And follow it up with a full English breakfast and a couple of pints of Guinness.
Yeah.
Proper best friend activities.
Proper best friend, yes. Nice. Someone else just said, if my best friend was yogurt, it'd be a munch bunch. We go to Lakeside Shopping Centre and score chicks. How lovely. Paul from Putney just says, my best friend would be a Yakult. I'd go around with him doing dastardly deeds, disproving the ludicrous notion of good bacteria once and for all. Dom in Watford, what would you do if your best mate was a yogurt?
I'd take my little yogurt mate, Mother Corner, Black Cherry, to a field filled with dairy cows. Gesturing grandly, I would proclaim, this is where you come from. This is your legacy. All because he'd explained he'd been raised on a dairy shelf by an Activia, and he was a bit confused. Yeah. The future can't come quick enough for me, Danny. Bring on the yoghurt!
Bring on the yoghurt! That's what we say. Holly in Kent says, my best friend was a carton of milk, but we were in the sun too long. Now he's a yoghurt, and let me tell you, he's changed. What else, Matt?
Don, the Scotch egg man in Balham, says, I'd have a steamy romance with a toffee yoghurt in a park whilst my newly opened Alpro Soya was at home and completely oblivious to any hanky-panky.
Oh, how lovely. And Billy from Battersea just says, my best friend would be a half-eaten fruit corner. Now, we would travel the world looking for inspirational new ingredients for the empty corner of his mind. Scrumping for pecan nuts in Cyprus, wild flower picking in Holland, or sniffing out truffles in Devon. Dedication to the yoghurt. Now, we've all had a lot of fun there, haven't we? Imagining a world in which our best friends are yoghurts. There is one guy, though, for whom that wouldn't have been fun. In fact, that would have been quite hurtful, I imagine. And I can only apologise, it just came in right towards the end of that. And we were all laughing, weren't we, and imagining this wonderful world of skipping hand in hand with a fruit corner or a Yakult or any of those. But Andy in Hornchurch, what do you want to say?
My best friend can't be a yoghurt because I'm lactose intolerant. Future's going to be very lonely for me.
Forgot about the lactose intolerant people.
We got a bit carried away.
I'm so sorry. We are. Slightly strange show this morning. I just lost it on air just a few minutes ago. Just properly laughing until I was crying. I was crying. And all because confirmed listener Travis just thought to just keep us informed. But that he's changed numbers. He's got a new number. So he thought I'd better let the guys at XFN know. And so now we know, and it's great that. But I think also, I'm a bit ill today. We've been fighting a cold for a while. And Matt, you're a bit ill as well.
Yeah.
So we're a bit off our game, aren't we?
I don't think I've had quite as much day nurse as you.
I'm coasting. I'm flying on day nurse. Look at him just wiping his nose.
Sorry.
Not like on the microphone or anything.
Just discreetly.
Just a tissue. But it gets me thinking, like, we've got this texter we have to do it after seven, don't we? I just don't know. I'm just not feeling it. I just don't know. I mean, I've had to rely on things like what you had for your tea last night when I've been feeling like this in the past. I just don't know. So it gets me thinking, this is why confirmed listeners are so brilliant, because we can lean on people, can't we? We can just lean on people, and people can chip in, can't they?
It's a two-way process.
It's a two-way process. It's not just about us sitting here.
Yeah.
Dave, will you ring a listener? Dom.
Yeah.
Ring Dom.
Oh, Dom.
Yeah, yeah.
Look him up. I think he's got a new number.
Yeah.
So check your files. You got him?
Yeah.
Hello?
Hey, is that Dom?
It is, yeah.
Hi, did I wake you?
No.
No, cool. It's Danny Wallace here.
Hi there.
Hi, Dom. Listen, I'm a bit ill this morning, and Matt's not feeling well either. We need a texter by seven. I can't come up with anything. It's got to be topical. It's got to be relevant to people's lives. You could go the other way, though, Dom. You could do, we did The Adventures of Dappy as a dog. What would you do if your best friend was a yoghurt? What did you have for your tea last night?
For my tea, I had chicken and rice.
No, I mean as a texter.
Yeah, this is true. I'm put on the spot a bit here, to be honest.
Well, don't worry. I mean, we've got a little bit of time, but if I could just leave that with you, it would just be nice just to have people chipping in a bit more.
Yeah, no problem. I'll
thanks. That's great, Dom. All right, we'll give you a call back. We'll give you a call back around 7 o'clock.
All right, brilliant.
Thanks, Dom. Thank you.
XFM.
We got Sam Rockwell here. The brand new film, the brilliant new film, Seven Psychopaths, comes out 5th December. That's Wednesday. We beseech you, go and see it. And Sam, I was just telling you off air there that one of the things we do here is we really care about our A-list guests. Yeah, we really care about them, their careers, the direction, the choices that they make. Do you know what you're up to next? What's your next kind of project?
I'm looking for something hot.
Very hot, yes. Looking for something that's going to pique your interest.
Yes, yes.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Something sizzling.
Something sizzling?
Yeah.
And do you have things in mind?
I don't. I heard they're casting the Han Solo's son, but he's probably going to be like 16. That's fine. I can play 16.
Yeah, you could get away with it. You're absolutely fine. Take the glasses off. No one will know.
Yeah, sure. No problem.
Well, Sam, whatever your next project is, cancel it, please. That is not only me saying that. That is the XFM listenership, because we've got some pitches for you.
Snap my pitch up.
So it's fine now. You're sitting pretty. You've got Seven Psychopaths out, right? You probably think you can just relax for a while.
Yeah.
Just kick back. That's what you're thinking. Forget it. You can't. Support to plan. What about this? What about this? In fact, do we have the audio from Teacher Alan? This is what Teacher Alan thinks that you should do next.
Sam Rockwell's Ham Hock Hell. Mm. Sam Rockwell sets himself the formidable challenge of eating a whole ham hock every day for a month. Mm. Keep the budget low, do it in a pub car park.
Very cheap to do. Pub car park, you every day eating a whole ham hock.
Oh my God.
What do you
think?
That's
amazing.
It's not bad, is it?
That's amazing.
It's like that Morgan Spurlock documentary, isn't it? But more ham based.
Yeah, yeah. I like it.
Do you like it?
Have you ever seen a ham hock? They're pretty intense.
They're pretty intense, but you've got a whole day per ham hock.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
Doesn't sound like he's committing.
The sequel would be the time in the latrine, getting rid of it.
It's a little bit presumptuous to say that it will be recommissioned at this stage, Sam. We will have to just see how the first one goes. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Michael Rysup says, Sam Rockwell rings her bell. Sam rings lonely housewives' doorbells, then stands at the end of the front garden path. When the housewife opens the door, Sam shouts in a high falsetto, "It was me, chase me," as he runs away.
Fantastic. I love it.
I think that's probably a one-off documentary. I don't see that as a long-running series.
That's great.
You got Sam Rockwell's Sam Roswell, which is to do with UFOs and surface-to-air missiles. More things about ham hocks. Sam Rockwell versus Norman Rockwell. A-list actor Sam Rockwell goes up against 1940s artist Norman Rockwell. There's an intense fight in the last 10 episodes, each time in a different exotic location.
Nice.
From Brackwell, Bracknell. What do you think about that?
I love it. I love it.
You seem to pretty much like all of these, Sam.
I think they're all
pretty
bold.
Do you have an agent at this stage?
I do. I should have them here right now.
No, we cleared everything with them. You are signing up to these. Rockwell's Well Rocks, and it's an embarrassing bodies style show about health issues affecting rocks. So you'll be advising rocks on shameful issues such as barnacles and limpets.
Sounds very educational.
Are you going to sign up to any of these? You're just commenting on them.
I got to think about it. I got to talk to my agent.
No, go with your gut.
We're going to have to go. It's a little early. I got to go over these again and think about it. But they're all very promising.
All right. Well, it sounds like for the first time ever, an A-list movie star is not into any of your pitches. Please do not take that personally. He does not mean it as an insult. I'd really like to see you do some kind of informative video about Stockwell, actually.
Stockwell?
Yeah. Let's maybe try and get that going.
Rockwell Stockwell?
That would sound great.
We are XFM.
Right now, though, you're in the I Don't Know Biz. Let me change that with the Showbiz update. Gonna show you my business.
I wonder how Matt felt yesterday when he wasn't treated to the...
I've missed it.
Well, none of the journalists of the country at News Extra, hashtag News Extra, were able to get my Showbiz update. I don't know. Was there any Showbiz reports yesterday?
I mean, I always just found myself just stood at water coolers. Mute.
Just all of you.
To say.
Just all of you just staring at each other. Normally, we'd have something to say here. Well... Girls Aloud used to all go to a man's garage and clean their clothes.
Sharp.
I won't. Should be clear, the man was known to them.
Oh, right.
The man knew they were doing this. It's just that he had access to a washing machine. And so they would go there and wash their costumes. Are they costumes or are they clothes?
Costumes.
I think they're costumes, aren't they?
Yeah.
Because they're sort of characters, aren't they?
Yeah.
Not really real. None of these people are real.
Why was it in a garage?
Why is the washing machine in a garage?
The garage, I believe, it doesn't really say, but I'm imagining he was using the garage as some kind of rudimentary utility room.
Oh, I see.
Okay. There you go.
It's like an industrial Charlie's Angels, isn't it?
Isn't it just? Plan B was shocked to hear Bradley Wiggins is up for Sports Personality of the Year. Shocked he was.
Really?
Because he had no idea who Bradley Wiggins is.
Whoa. You are
He had no idea. He went on to say, "Now I don't know who he is, but how many people has he inspired to ride bikes? Not as many as I have to wear suits."
Oof.
Don't know about that.
Oh, don't know about that. To him?
What's happened to Plan B? We need a new plan, don't we? We need Plan C. Yeah. C for considerate.
I think people were wearing suits before Plan B started.
No, no.
No. Oh. All right. Sorry.
What's wrong with you?
Sorry.
The kid from Two and a Half Men says that people should not watch Two and a Half Men because it's filth. I watched the video. Did you watch the video? Angus's name is. It's amazing. He almost literally calls it the work of the devil. he's quite a religious kid.
Yeah.
And he's talking about the enemy a lot, and the enemy is what they call the devil. They don't want to talk about the devil in case the devil pops up.
Right.
So he calls him the enemy. And it's part of the enemy's plan, Two and a Half Men. And he says, I don't want to be in it. I've got a feeling that won't be a problem soon. David Beckham is no longer the world's sexiest man.
Gazoo.
Get that into your thick skulls. According to the newspaper of the Chinese Communist Party, it's Kim Jong-un.
Ah, yes.
Now, they fell for an online spoof printed by The Onion, or rather online by The Onion. And they ended up printing a 55-page photo special in tribute and celebration of the world's sexiest man, Kim Jong-un.
Really?
55 pages of pure Kim Jong-un. That's great, isn't it? Helen Flanagan's out of the jungle. Now, we don't really talk about her very much. I find it quite tiring.
I think, isn't it because we don't know who she is?
Do you not know who Helen Flanagan is?
I don't know who she is.
I think she's in Corrie.
Oh, right.
And then she went into the jungle.
Yeah. She's Rosie.
She's the one that you keep seeing her face everywhere in the papers.
And her face,
everywhere. She's been the big star of this series.
It's mainly her upper classes that the newspapers focus on. So let's just get out of the way. Here's some facts about Helen Flanagan. She said she was shocked that Australian people were just like English people and used the same language. In the past, she's had to call out the AA 4 times for running out of petrol. She has a spray tan every 2 days. And she did not realise that Australia was a 24-hour flight away.
Let me write this down.
She didn't really know what she signed up for, did she? Daniel Craig sent Adele a big bag of Skyfall merchandise, did he? I don't imagine that, really. Yeah. I think probably a marketing person did that. Yeah. Ollie Murs says he only had 10 days off this year. As bad as working in a salt mine, his job, isn't it? Kate Middleton wore a dress last night that she last wore in 2011.
WTF.
Arpat says he wishes he'd been in Westlife. He's got no time for One Direction. And Spotted, finally. And this is a real them versus us sentence, right? Never has the divide between this kind of person and us been greater. Pippa Middleton, Spotted drinking a marmalade margarita at Honky Tonk in Chelsea.
Show me your business.
Don't even know what it means. Don't even know what that means. A margarita, a marmalade margarita at Honky Tonk in Chelsea. We should really call Confirmist and Dom back soon because we charged him this morning, didn't we, with the mission of coming up with a text topic, didn't we?
Yeah.
And I think I woke him. Mm. We just thought it's nice for you guys to chip in, you know, put your weight a bit. You know, we rock up here every day. It can't all be about us, can it?
It's all free.
It always seems to be our turn to come up with this stuff. It's all free, exactly, Matt. Mm. Exactly. So let's start to call Dom. First, though, look at this in the newspaper. So, you know, did you hear the story the other day that America, at one point, planned to explode a nuclear bomb on the moon just to scare Russia? That's what it was, a show of might, a show of force.
Yeah.
Just go and check this out, yeah? Because they thought it's far enough away, but everyone could see the moon, can't they, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what they were going to do. And there's all these other slightly strange wartime plots that have come out, including when the Germans invaded in 1941, the Russians enlisted their secret weapon. And what would you imagine their secret weapon might be? If the American secret weapon was a nuclear bomb on the moon.
Yeah.
The Russians, 50 years before
atomic,
or something.
Atomic, wasn't it? Oh, this is ages ago.
This is ages ago, yeah. Right. 20 years ago, yeah.
Probably like guns and stuff.
Yeah, probably, isn't it? No, it was Nina the Juggler. And it was a juggler called Nina, you probably guessed that, and she was a Moscow circus performer, and she was ordered to entertain enemy troops, right, by juggling, when juggling was still impressive, and then she'd have to lob her skittles, which were pre-packed with explosives, at the enemy soldiers. Isn't that amazing? It didn't really work. And then, during the siege of Venice in 1849, there was an Austrian general, right, who went to all the trouble of getting 200 unmanned hot air balloons, each of which carried a bomb. But a sudden change of wind blew them all back at the army whose balloons they were. Yeah. Now, those are good stories, right? But they're not really that relatable. It's not like I could say to the listeners, what's your maddest wartime plot? Do you know what I mean? Not everyone's got one. I mean, a lot of people do. But some texters are coming in already. Lauren, to give a homeless to Lauren, says, what three things would you take if you were stuck on a desert island with Dappy? Good texter. Matt says, what's the best thing that's happened to you this week? Good one, because, you know, we'll all have stories. But confirm, listener Dom, are you there?
I am indeed.
Hi, Dom. Listen, we pretty much handed you full editorial control of the airwaves this morning. It's a risk, isn't it?
It's a massive risk, Danny. I was half asleep when you called me, and I got onto the task straight away. But I do have written down in front of me about America planning to blow up the moon. You've completely stolen my idea.
Oh, Dom, I'm terribly sorry. Yeah, no, that's gone. That's gone. So you can cross that one out. You've come up with a few, have you?
Some better than others.
Okay. Are they topical? Are they relevant? Are they things that people can relate to?
Oh, they've been in the news. I think everyone can relate to one story in particular, yeah.
Okay, well, why don't you give me one first of all? What are you thinking?
One of them is there's been a power clash within a herd of elephants in Dutch Zoo.
Oh.
The zoo at a wit's end, the elephants refuse to stay together. So I was going to just ask the listeners, is how would you bring the elephants back together?
How would you unite angry elephants? So elephants, there's a power struggle in a Danish zoo. All right, well, that's one. How would you unite the elephants? What else are you thinking?
Kate Middleton has apparently created a craze for British-style weddings in France. I just wanted to know how the Duchess of Cambridge has inspired the listeners' lives.
How has the Duchess of Cambridge inspired and touched the listeners' lives? Yeah, that's great as well. That's a very good one. And what about one more?
A couple recently spent £6,000 on getting their dogs married. I was just going to ask the listeners, what would their gift to the dogs be?
What's a suitable wedding gift for courting dogs? Yeah, no, that sounds great. Well, I mean, which do you what you know? If you had to go with your gut, Dom, what would you go with?
I think it would be the elephant, personally.
You're saying elephant. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll have a vote in the studio. What are you saying, Dave?
I quite liked how Kate Middleton's enriched your life.
Yeah, Matt.
I think I'm going to go with the elephants too.
Oh man, because I'm going to go with Duchess of Cambridge as well. Mm. I've got, you know, I'm the great leader. Dom, thank you so much. We're asking you this morning, because Dom wants to know, how has the Duchess of Cambridge enriched and touched your lives? Matt, how has the Duchess of Cambridge enriched your life?
I just find her fashion sense. I'm just in a trance whenever I watch her walk around, meeting members of the general public.
Yes.
And I feel she's brightened up my life with her ever-changing outfits.
It's lovely. Dave, how has the Duchess of Cambridge enriched your life?
Well, Danny, you might have noticed that today I'm actually wearing my fringe down. As you may have noticed in the papers, this is a new hairstyle.
Yes.
For Kate. So every time she changes her hair, I feel that's my move. And my moments then copy her hairstyle.
What a wonderful thing she has enriched your life.
Yeah.
You'll notice that I'm wearing this shirt, but I last wore this shirt in 2009. So I'm starting to rotate my wardrobe. Nice. It means I've got to buy a lot more clothes, but it has enriched my life. Is Dom still there?
I am, yeah.
How has the Duchess of Cambridge enriched your life, Dom?
Well, what I tend to do is I'll stand completely naked in my room until I know what Kate is wearing, and then I will match the outfit exactly.
Brilliant. Yeah. This is it. It's a great text. XFM. So the man who was arrested for being naked on a statue in Whitehall has been charged with possessing an offensive weapon. Just give you a moment to do your own punchlines. Can't be good for his confidence, though, can it? This guy has an offensive weapon.
Offensive.
It's offensive, that weapon. It's graceful.
We are
Sam Rockwell was in Yesterday. And, man, that guy loves Stockwell.
Rockwell Stockwell. Hi, I'm Sam Rockwell. And this is Rockwell Stockwell. With excellent transport links located close to central London, Stockwell is an area on the move. Look, there's the BHS on the high street. And over there, it's Planet Kebab. The only 20th century building of significant architectural interest in the area is Stockwell Bus Garage. Stockwell is well served by buses, the number of routes either terminating there or passing through the area. The buses are routes 88, 2, 155, 196, 333, P5, 345, and 50. And don't forget the night bus, sleepyhead. Stockwell, more like Roxwell. Hi, I'm Sam Rockwell. Thank you.
XFM. We are XFM.
And after, I suppose, a mild on-air breakdown this morning, I realised I was in no fit state to dictate the editorial direction of this morning's important broadcast. And then I got to thinking, you know, we rock up here, don't we, Matt? You know, we're here every day. It always seems to be our turn to speak. So why not put it on the listener? Huh?
Yeah.
So we rang one at random, didn't we? It was confirmed listener Dom. And we just said, we woke him up. We just said, it's up to you. It's up to you. Yeah? You want this to be a good show, pull your weight. And he did. He came up with some great texts. Oh, set them up beautifully, didn't he? He was giving us the topical stories, his little opinion on them.
It was ever so good, wasn't it?
Ever so good. And the one we chose was, how has the Duchess of Cambridge touched and enriched your life? This is all because, as Dom was telling us, Kate is inspiring the ladies of France to, what was it? Do something or other.
Something to do weddings.
Yeah, have British weddings.
Have British weddings.
Weddings.
There you go. So how has she affected your life? Matt, how has she touched the listeners' lives?
AJ in Wimbledon says, Kate has enriched my life by teaching me to accept that my sister has, and probably always will have, a nicer bottom than me.
Wow.
I
well,
accept that it's okay to have a less desirable bum.
Thanks, Kate.
Adam in Basildon says, on the day of her marriage, I was driving up to Scotland with my friends. Thanks to her, the roads were clear, the journey was interrupted, the car was stress-free. God bless you, Mum.
Kate Brillinton.
Absolutely.
The Duchess of Cambridge has been on a lot of international trips, and she has inspired me to do the same, so tomorrow I'm going on holiday.
Oh!
Confirm Mr. Rachel.
Very nice. The Duchess touched me.
Oh, okay. From Joe in Croydon, I saw the Duchess wearing army pants and flip-flops, so I started wearing army pants and flip-flops. Thanks, Kate.
Touched me, Duchess.
Okay, that sounds a bit weird. We might have Kate's inspired me to open a theme park. Kate Middleton's Mates Kiddie Town. Very popular with the children. Gareth in Dunstable says, I'm getting married next year. She's inspired me to shun the usual weekend and hold it midweek to make it cheaper, as long as I give the nation a bank holiday. I will, he says. Good.
I am enriched beyond my wildest dreams.
Should be. Matt in Westcliff-on-Sea, her sister's bottom has touched my life. I only wish I could touch her sister's bottom. And teacher Alan, what's yours?
Kate enriched my life because Kim Kardashian gave me all the clothes that Kate rejected. I'm currently wearing a leopard print boob tube.
Thanks, Kate.
And thank you.
Kate Brillinton.
She is. And thank confirmed listener Dom for that one. Dom in Watford, can't thank you enough.
We are
XFM. If you've just woken up, you've woken up to a very different world. David Beckham, no longer the sexiest man in the world. No longer the sexiest man in the world. Forget it. Put out your mind. Move on. According to the newspaper of the Chinese Communist Party, it's Kim Jong-un. And they fell for this online spoof I was mentioning earlier. And I thought I'd go into more detail for you, Matthew.
Yeah,
you might be thinking,
what
is it about this guy? What is it about this guy?
I mean, he's pretty hot.
Isn't it? Pretty hot stuff. Well, he's been described as devastatingly handsome. A Pyongyang-bred heartthrob. Who's every woman's dream come true, blessed with an air of power, masks, and unmistakably cute, cuddly side. Kim made this newspaper's editorial board swoon with his fashion sense, his chic short hairstyle, and of course, that famous smile. That famous smile you always see him do. Now, this was, of course, an online spoof. Someone had made a bit of a spoof. It's The Onion, you know, those guys. And they've done it before. They've done it before. They've said that Bernie Madoff was the last one, I think, the world's sexiest man. But the humour was lost on the newspaper board of the Communist Party of China, who ended up publishing a 55-page photo special of Kim Jong-un and in all our favourite poses. What's your favourite Kim
pose? Like it when he addresses the crowds and he's just at the plinth doing a speech. That's when I find him.
You like, you know, that's an air of plinth stuff.
There's an air of menace to him that I find it really gets me going.
Alluring. Yeah. What about you, Dave? What's your favourite Kim pose?
I think I like him when he's at his most pensive.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can see it in his eyes.
Yes, you can.
And it's the reflective
smoldering
side.
Yeah.
It is quite smouldering, actually, man. That's a good point. But, the pensive.
So, plinth and pensive.
Yeah.
I like it when he does that coquettish half turn. You know, and the cameras are there, and he's just sort of over the shoulder, coquettish. Yeah. That's what I like.
He
showing
he
off.
He knows he's doing it.
Yeah, he knows he's doing it.
He's working it.
He is.
For the paps.
Yeah. Oh, it's my bottom. No, it's just there. You know, that's the world we've woken up to today. So David Beckham, forget it. Yesterday's man.
We are XFM.
Earlier this morning, we phoned confirmed listener Dom in Watford, didn't we? And we surprised him. We woke him up. And it was just me going, hello, it's Danny here. And I asked him for a text. It seemed to go quite well. Yeah. It's nice just to call listeners, isn't it?
Mm.
They feel they can call us. It's nice for us to just call them randomly, just catch up, see what's going on. And I noticed a text, Matt. I don't know if you can see that. It's from Jordan. And he says it's his 15th birthday today. And what he really wants to become for his 15th birthday is a confirmed listener, so I reckon we should probably, if we just do this, okay. Let's do it. See you.
Hello?
Oh, hello, is that Jordan?
Who's this?
It's Danny Wallace from the XFM Breakfast Show.
Oh, hello.
First of all, happy birthday.
Thank you.
What did you get?
Nothing so far. I'm still in bed.
Really? I hear you're getting a new cricket jumper.
A new what?
A new cricket jumper.
Why am I getting a cricket jumper?
Ask your mum. Don't ask me. It's not my fault. Jordan, I got your listener application.
Yeah.
Just a couple of things. It's known as the important what.
Important what? What do you mean?
Well, this broadcast is known as the important what. This broadcast.
Yeah.
What's it known as? The important what?
Sorry, I'm confused.
This broadcast is known as the important what? Yeah, I'm sorry. Look, happy birthday, but it's not really worked out. I can't really let you become a confirmed listener.
All right.
Okay, maybe next year.
Next year, all right then.
Thanks, Jordan. Bye-bye.
Cheers, bye.
That's a shame. Didn't really work out the way I was hoping. He wants to be a confirmed listener, and then that kind of thing happens. You look quite disturbed by that, Dave. You seem
I don't think you actually gave him much of a chance. I don't think it was a very...
What? I gave him so many. I was saying it's known as the important what. Yeah. I was even using the word broadcast.
Yeah. Do you know what? I thought, well, I don't think the question was very clear to start off with, Danny.
It's known as the important what.
Okay, also, maybe just another shot of the title, chance. I thought it would have been fair.
No.
It's his birthday.
No. No. These clowns think they can just turn up and just, be part-time listeners. It's confirmed listener for a reason. People should listen in absolute silence, making notes. That's what should happen. And I don't care if it's his birthday, right?
We are.
XFM. You told me that you'd had a strange dream.
We've talked about our anxious Sunday night sleeps in the past.
Yeah,
you know,
we have.
As I think a lot of people have before, the Monday morning kicks in.
Yes.
And mine was full of imagination in my dreams last night.
Wonderful.
I was going all over the place in my dreams.
How wonderful.
Yeah, you were in it, Danny.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and you were in it, Matt.
Great. What were we up to?
Separately.
Separately?
Yeah, separate
good.
Dreams.
Good, that's in my dream contract. I will not. It's like dressing rooms. I will not share a dream. So, who are you going to start with? What was I up to?
I was in Finsbury Park with you.
Yeah, that wouldn't happen.
No, and it was midnight. It was really dark.
What was I doing in Finsbury Park at midnight?
I'm coming to this. All right. You are on your BMX. And then you said, watch this. Watch me grind this bench. Oh, yeah. You had little pegs on your BMX.
Yeah, of course, yeah. And you went, standing on when I do wheelies.
You went miles away, and I was waiting for ages. I was thinking, is he going to come back? Oh. And then you come back, and then you kind of speed past me then, on the bench, then hop off again. And I was really impressed.
Wow.
Because I betted that you wouldn't be able to do it, but did you did it really well.
Who were you betting with?
You.
And then I did it.
And then you did it.
So I did a big skid.
So you're a stuntman.
Look at me.
Dreams.
What was Matt up to? Something even less high octane, I imagine.
I was driving Matt somewhere in a car, and then Matt decides to tell me that he's just visited Poirot's house. And that was it.
Right.
And what? That was it.
What do you mean Poirot? Well, the fictional detective?
Yeah, the fictional detective.
Right. Or was Poirot real in the dream?
No. Well, Matt thought Poirot was real.
That's Matt all over.
Yeah.
Why do you think Poirot and all other fictional detectives are real?
I don't know.
Remember that day you went out to try and find Danger Mouse?
I like the way Danny's doing a trick on a BMX. You're just driving me around. I think that says a lot about how you view us.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. What you're essentially saying is I'm doing all stunts and very impressive. Yeah. And Matt's very much a passenger.
Yeah. You're carrying
a passenger
me.
On this journey.
Yeah. You're in the back as well, which is weird.
Ideas above his station. Ideas above his station.
XFM.
A pigeon has kept a couple at home for 17 years. Sounds like some kind of kidnapping, doesn't it? It's not. They just love him. They love this pigeon so much. It's in Austria. And this pigeon-loving couple, it's not often you say that, have not gone on holiday for over 17 years after they adopted this injured pigeon, right? So there's a fella called Bertel and a lady called Ermi. And they even can't use the oven at home because the bird uses it as a nest. So they've not really cooked a meal in 17 years either, it seems. And the gentleman, Bertel, found the pigeon by the side of the road where she'd been hit by a car, right? So they took her in. And that was in April, 17 years ago. And they give her a bit to eat, cornbread, things like that. But they can't leave the pigeon alone because it wouldn't survive. So they can never leave the house. They can only go on day trips, things like that. And they're going to have to wait until the pigeon decides to go for a walk around the house before they can even use the dishwasher, as it disturbs her while she's sleeping. Sounds like these are just very lazy people, aren't they?
Yeah.
They don't want to cook for themselves. They don't want to wash up. What are they washing up if they're not cooking? Yeah. They're just sitting there looking at a pigeon. Also, how long do pigeons live? 17. How long do pigeons live?
I know.
Huh?
I think the average is about 20 years, I believe.
What do you mean, the average? How do you know that? How do you possibly know that?
My research,
all northerners are pigeon fans.
He's just playing up to the stereotype, isn't he? Oh, yeah, come to me for any pigeon facts. I know it all. Tell you what people do come to you for, though, Dave.
Yeah.
You're acting.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
How about that? That's the big news where we are. Dave has been approached by a major theatre here in London's West End for a starring role in one of their key productions.
It's only a matter of time, I think, Danny.
I think so, yeah. So reveal all, please.
I'm going to be appearing in Spamalot.
Of course you are. Of course you are. You're going to be appearing in Spamalot.
I've had that reaction a lot this weekend when I've been explaining to people what I'm doing next Monday night. Yeah,
Get me the producer of the XFM Breakfast Show on the line.
I'm going to be...
It's the same person who books the newspaper reviews for Sky News. Get me Chris Agabusi and Martin from Homes Under the Hammer. There's trouble in Gaza. So why have they come to you and what will you be doing?
I'm not too sure why they've come to me specifically, but I'm going to be the character Sir Not Appearing.
Yeah.
Which
and I've seen Spamalot, and it's a funny role there. It's a short role, but it's a funny role. It's a key role.
It's a key role, yeah, and I've got a little bit of a punchline where they explain that I'm in the wrong play, I believe, and then I have to say, sorry.
You just ruin the whole... It's a massive spoiler.
I know.
That's the whole thing. He's just spoilt the... Oh, you know nothing about the theatre, do you?
I don't know.
So you're playing Sir Not Appearing in Spamalot from when? So a week today?
From next Monday.
And it's somewhere like the Pinter Theatre, or where is it?
It's one of the big theatres.
He's got no idea. And we're going to talk to Eric Idle later in the week or about that as a kind of a precursor to your big night, your big appearance on the West End stage.
Yeah.
But you were telling me you're quite nervous about it because the last time you tried to sing a Monty Python song, what happened?
It was when I was in the Cubs, I think, and I tried to sing. I had a part to sing in Always Look on the Bright Side of Life.
Great song, isn't it? Yeah, easy to remember. A national classic. Everyone knows it.
Yeah, yeah. But I just, my mind went blank and I completely forgot the words to a full hall of people, parents. And
you know that, Cubs, that song pretty much finishes Spamalot as well.
What?
Everyone comes out and they sing that song.
No.
Everyone. Including Sir Not Appearing.
I doubt it.
They do. I've seen it. I saw it. What do you mean you doubt it? I'm telling you, it's a fact.
I didn't know this because I don't. I think I'm one of the few people who maybe don't know the words to this song.
Well, you don't know. You don't know the words to the song. You also don't know where it's happening. So you just mean what you literally may not be appearing in the show. Well, I've queued up the music. Here it is. Here is the music. Let's test you now. So it starts like some things in life are bad. They can really make you mad. Yep. Other things just make you swear and curse. When you're chewing on life's gristle, don't grumble, give a whistle. And this'll help things turn out for the best. Dave!
Always
that's
look
it.
On the
he's
right
got it.
Side of life.
You're with the XFM Breakfast Show.
Always look that's on it. The light side of life.
Yeah, everyone knows that bit. But now, take it, Dave.
If it really makes you hurt at all, always look. You're gonna turn out for the best.
Okay.
This is our new terms. Don't be silly chumps.
Just purse your lips and whistle. That's the thing. Dave!
Always look on the bright.
Cut it, cut it, because there's a danger this will go on forever.
Okay. We are XFM.
I take your point, guys. Matt and Dave. I disagree with these listeners. For example, someone just saying, you're damn right, Danny. Yeah? It takes dedication and discipline to be a confirmed listener. Lucy says, you're right, Danny. It's a hard-earned privilege. That ninny hammer was clearly not a committed listener. Laura says, no, it was so easy. He does not deserve to be a confirmed listener. Brackets, I'm not yet a confirmed listener. You are now, Laura. James says, I'm with Danny. But you guys, you're quite upset about the whole thing.
He's only 15.
Really. 15 today.
He'd only just woken up.
Mm. Important broadcast, man.
Gosh.
Do you really think so?
Yeah.
What do you think I should have done?
I think you maybe should have introduced it with, Jordan, here's your first question. And really spells it out for
you. You can't format my life, though. My life doesn't have format points, yeah? I was thinking on the fly. It wasn't a tightly scripted piece.
Give him another chance.
I'm not going to... Dial him up.
Hello?
Hi, Jordan. Listen, I've had a change of heart.
Yeah?
It's your birthday. You know, this is important to you. You want to become a confirmed listener, don't you?
Well, I wouldn't mind, yeah.
Yeah. Right. Well, why don't you just, I mean, almost like a verbal essay, just give me a few, just a few pointers of why you'd like to be a confirmed listener.
I don't know, I like the show, funny, I like the music on it, like, I don't know.
That sounds good, that sounds...
I just hear, like, on every morning, like, good news or whatever, and, like, you say, oh, I'm confirmed listener, blah, 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 and I've always thought, oh, I want to be a confirmed listener one day.
Oh, that's nice. Well, Matt, have you got a little question for Jordan, and then hopefully we can let him in?
I've got a little question for you. What is the system by which we ask for money off people who do things that annoy us? What's that called?
It's where they moan about something, you save £5, please.
Yay! Yes! Jordan, you're in. You're a confirmed listener, my friend. How do you feel?
Sweet. I'm all right.
Happy birthday. Confirmed listener Jordan, everybody. Happy now, Matt. Are you happy?
It just melts your heart, that little guy, doesn't it?
It does. Jordan, welcome to the gang. Have a brilliant, brilliant happy birthday. And the rest of you, you're all confirmed listeners as well.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station. On the planet. XFM.
So So, Matt, what have we learned today?
Well, for the second time this week, myself and Danny have been sent joint post.
Yes.
Addressed to both of us.
Both of us.
Which really makes me feel like his radio wife, the Anne Diamond to his Nick Owen.
Thank you.
Our great leader even shared some of his decongestant tablets with me this morning. Maybe this could develop into some kind of relationship off air.
Yes.
Like when Adrian Childs kept spending most of the time with Christine Bleakley.
Yeah.
Gosh, I hope we're not papped walking hand in hand through a park.
We've already been intimate a couple of times, haven't we?
Yes.
On today's important broadcast, we enjoyed Sam Rockwell's Stockwell, but not Corden's Morden, Neville's Southall, Beckham's Peckham, Liz Hurley's Pearly, Jensen Button really likes Sutton, Rage Against the Machine's World of East Sheen, Michael Winner, A Life in Pinner, A.A. Gill's Gypsy Hill, Matt Goss on Charing Cross, Vladimir Putin's Cavalier Tooting, or Letitia Dean's Willesden Green.
XFM.
So, that was the podcast for
you.
Hope you enjoyed it. Love me and him. Goodbye.
Oh, there we go.
There'll be another one next week. Bye-bye. Yes, we are.